Well, I've shared with several of you how the Lord had dealt with me. Before I left to go down to Mexico to minister, God was dealing with me about the prayer of Jabez. And I was hearing all these things about Jabez's prayer. And then as I got down to South Texas and I was ministering across the border and on this side of the border, God once again had us being reminded about the Jabez prayer. And so I came back home, and I got home late in the evening. And as I got home the next day, we were watching TV, a TV evangelist from Fellowship Church, Ron, I believe his first name, I'm not for sure. And he's teaching on the Jabez prayer. And so I said, well, maybe the Lord's trying to tell me something, you know. And then I came up to the church Sunday morning, and Barbara, bless her heart, brings me this book and lays it on my desk, said, Pastor, would you just read this? And I look at it, and it says, the Jabez prayer. So I have no choice now but to teach the Jabez prayer, amen? You may say, well, who's Jabez? Well, he's a man in the Old Testament that got two verses, but he got a whole lot more than that, amen? He got two verses in the Old Testament, but he prayed a powerful, powerful prayer, and I believe that as we look into the depths of that prayer, that God will minister to you. It's my prayer that he ministers to you in every area. So we have it on the overhead this morning. It says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called him Jabez because I bore him in pain. You know, this guy started out causing pain. Come on, somebody. I mean, you know, have you ever met some people that are just a pain, you know? You understand what I'm saying? This man caused pain from the get-go. As a matter of fact, he was so painful, I don't know if it was painful to look at him or what, but he was so painful that his mother named him Jabez, and Jabez means pain or one that will cause grief or pain. Can anybody relate to what I'm talking about this morning, you know? Do you ever feel like sometimes you just cause a lot of people pain? I know I used to cause a lot of people pain. I probably still do, but at least I'm causing the devil pain now. Amen? Amen. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So it says that he was more honorable than his brothers, but he was born in pain, and he caused pain. And it says, and Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Now, that sounds like an awful, selfish prayer, doesn't it? You know what? I believe it's a prayer that God orchestrated for him to pray. Amen? Because we studied on Wednesday night, I did the first tape of a five-tape series that we're going to have on this. So I want to encourage you to get the full five-tape series, because I think it will enhance your prayer life and will encourage you. You know, at the beginning of the year, God began to talk to me, minister to me about us praying 24 minutes a day. How many of you remember that? Well, I think God's reducing it down to like 24 seconds a day now. Amen? But he wants to get you in prayer, whatever it takes. Amen? I'm not saying you shouldn't pray 24 minutes or you shouldn't pray 2 hours. I'm just saying that God's trying to get it down to your level. He got it down to Jabez's level. And Jabez's level was, God bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be upon me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Man, what a wonderful prayer. What a wonderful prayer. I mean, this man, he just made up his mind. See, I believe if we lived by that prayer, I've done a lot of teaching on the Lord's Prayer, and I hear the Lord's Prayer in this. You know, first of all, he acknowledged who God was. It says he prayed to the God of Israel. He didn't pray to some other God. He didn't pray to Buddha, you know. He prayed to the God of Israel. And so he said, God, don't let me cause pain. Now, in the New Testament, or in the Old Testament and the New Testament, over 600 times it talks about blessings or being blessed. Do you think God wanted us to know something about blessed and being blessed? When over 600 times in the Word of God it talks about that. So Jabez says, God bless me indeed. He didn't just say, God bless me. He said, God bless me indeed. In other words, God, give me more than enough. Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. You say, well, Pastor, that is an awful, awful, you know, selfish prayer. Well, that may sound selfish until you start reading the rest of that prayer, and you'll find out it's not all that selfish. You know, God glories in the prosperity of his saints. He wants his saints to be prosperous. But he has a particular reason for us to be prosperous, that we might share that we might send the gospel out. Amen? So we read in several places, in like in Psalms 1, where it says, you know, blessed is the man who delights in the Lord. And we read several places on Wednesday night, and I won't go in the depths of that, but there's one particular illustration that I want to talk about for just a minute. Most of you have heard this, that we're here on Wednesday night. You know, there was a man that died, and he went to heaven. And when he got to heaven, St. Peter met him at the gate, and he's taking him around heaven. He's showing him all the heaven and all the beautiful things. And over in one corner, there's something that looks like a very large warehouse. And he said, I want to go in there. And St. Peter said, oh, not right now. He said, you don't really want to go in there. So they went all around heaven. They came back. And they came back. You know how we are, you know. Wherever we can't go, whatever we can't do, that's what we want to do. You know, you understand that, don't you? So he said, I really want to go in that door. And he said, well, okay. He said, you can look in the door. So he looks in the door. And when he looks in the door, he sees just shelf after shelf after shelf after shelf of little white boxes with red ribbons on them. And he said, what is that? And St. Peter said, oh, you don't want to know. He said, you really don't want to know. He said, and so he walks on in, and he said, how come they all put in alphabetical order? He starts noticing the names on the boxes. And he says, St. Peter says, well, that's all. Those boxes are for all the saints. He said, do I have one? He says, yeah. He said, but you don't want to open it. So he starts going down the aisles. Now, I'm not for sure what his last name was. Maybe it was Gibson. I don't know. Maybe it was Collinsworth. I don't know. Because I think it probably every one of us would be here. And he goes down the aisle, and he finds this little white box with a red ribbon around, and he takes it out. And he said, and St. Peter said, you don't really want to open that. And he said, yeah. And so he opens it up, and when he opens it, the glory of God just comes out of the box. The Shekinah glory of God just, whoo, all over the place. And then he reaches down, and he pulls out this list, and he starts reading all these blessings and all of these wonderful things that God wanted to do for him while he was here on this earth, but he never got them done. I believe that probably only 10% of the people ever fulfill their destiny in the Lord. I believe that to be true. You know, I stop and think it was 38 years. I was 38 before I got saved. And I think of all the things I could have done before I got saved. And so I just say to you this morning, surely, 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 God has destined you for more than you have right now. Surely God has destined you to have more in every area than you have right now. And I'm not talking about money. See, when we first read that, it says, Jabez said this prayer, and he said, Lord, bless me indeed. The first thing we think about is dollar bills. But that's really not what he was praying about. Money is kind of a side product when you're serving the Lord. You understand what I mean? And so it really wasn't money he was praying about. So I want to go on to the second part of that prayer this morning. Please get the first tape. And if you can, get the full series. And let me just say this to you. If you can't afford $3 to buy a tape, I'll give you one, okay? Because you need it. Because if you're that broke, come on, somebody. If you're that broke, you really need that. You need the Word of God, amen? And so I don't know what the tapes will be. We'll make them as reasonable as we can. And if you can't afford a set of those tapes, if you'll come see me, I'll give you a set of those tapes. If you'll just promise to listen to them. Amen. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. Amen. So Jabez said this prayer. He said, oh God, that you would bless me indeed. Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. Give me, give me, give me, give me. That's what he was praying. And then he said the second part of that prayer, and enlarge my territory. Surely, God, I am created to do more than I've been doing. And some of us say, well, I don't know. I've got a pretty full load. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about surely God has destined you to have better than you have right now. Surely God has destined you and put you in a place where you can be a blessing to others. Amen? Surely God has given you more than you have. Surely there's a way. So what does it mean to enlarge my territory? What does that mean? It means to enlarge my influence. Everybody say influence. Enlarge my responsibility. Everybody say responsibility. Enlarge my opportunity. Say opportunities. And it really, what it means to enlarge everything I have, to let me go further, let me reach further, let me extend myself. You know, and that's why I said this morning, we need to learn to pray this Jabez prayer. God, extend my borders. Lord, lengthen out the cards. Make it longer. Make me be able to cover more than I'm covering. Lord, let me extend. You know, I extended this morning. Now Jay has to take the 2 o'clock calls, okay? You know, I extended this morning. You know, we need to learn to extend what God wants us to do. We need to also understand that we have certain responsibilities in whatever state. You know, you say, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not ever going to preach the word. Oh, yes, you will preach the word, because the day is going to come that somebody's going to come up and they're going to say, what has happened to you? Why are you different than you used to? You used to not be like this. What has changed? You look so happy. Well, that's good. You know, I think if you're a Christian, you ought to be happy. I can't stand these people who look like they've been eating on lemons all day. I am not into religion. I want you to know that. I am absolutely turned off by religion. But relationship is what I want with Jesus. Amen? That's what this church is about. It's about relationship with Jesus. It's about having a walking, talking relationship. I don't leave Jesus at the door when I walk out of here. When I take him to work with me, of course, I work at the church, but you need to take him to work with you. Amen. Everywhere you go, you need to be a witness for Jesus. Enlarge my territory, God. Enlarge what I'm doing. Enlarge everything I am doing. Lord, help me to be more of a witness. Do you need to know and realize something? That you're probably, in many instances, are the only Bible that some people are ever going to read. You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, somebody says, well, now we really can't start witnessing to people and just getting right in their face. Well, you might scare them. What are you talking about? Think about this a minute. Where are you going to scare them? You going to scare them out of hell? Come on, somebody. Think about it a minute. Oh, you want to scare them? I'd rather scare them out of hell than leave them there. Come on, somebody. I mean, I know what it's like because I live there. I know, and it's not fun. That's not a fun place to be. Come on, somebody. So God wants to enlarge your territory. So enlarge your territory means to enlarge your influence. Enlarge your responsibility. How many of you know anytime you enlarge your influence, you're going to enlarge your responsibility? You become responsible. Come on. You're going to also have more opportunities. You're going to have more territory. You're going to actually, what he's saying here, he's saying, God, give me plenty of room to grow. You know, several weeks ago, God gave us this whole set of pews right here. Extra set of pews. See, almost as many people as already in here. You know, and you know what that is? That's an opportunity to grow. It's more room to expand. Come on, somebody. I'm into expansion. You know what I mean? I'm into expanding God's kingdom. And so he gave us more opportunity to grow. Amen? And that's what Jabez was saying. He's saying, God, give me more opportunity. Give me more room so I can expand. Surely you were born for more than you're doing right now. Surely God didn't mean to keep you in this 5 and 10 cent job you're in. Come on, somebody. Surely God didn't intend to keep you, you know, keep you afraid and hiding in the darkness from the devil all the time. I hate it when people say, the devil's been after me all week. I say, why don't you stop, turn around, and punch the rascal in the nose? Come on, somebody. You don't have to take anything off of him. Be sure you're in the power of God. That's why the next part of that prayer is Jabez says, Lord, let your hand be with me. You know? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. So, I mean, you know, I'm saying this. God, increase, enlarge, make my territory bigger than it has been, Lord. Give me more of a sphere of influence, God. More of a sphere of influence. Surely I was born for more than I'm doing right now. Listen, some of the things God has showed me and ministered to my heart, I can't believe it. I remember when I got saved, a few months after that, I was down at work, I was in the car lot, and God said, I called you to preach. And I said, you did what? Now, you got to be kidding, God. You don't understand, you know. The last thing I ever expected to do was be a minister. I didn't ask for this job. Come on, somebody. I'll have to confess, when I got in it, I volunteered for it, all right? But I didn't really ask for it. It just all of a sudden went, listen, God knew I was about to go the wrong way totally, absolutely, so he saved me. Praise his holy name. Amen. So surely, regardless of everywhere you're at, you've got more in store. Amen. Surely God has got more things he wants to do. So what are you doing? What are you going to do about it? I said, you didn't hear me. I said, what are you going to do about it? You know where you need to start? You need to start praying the Jabez prayer. God, bless me indeed. Lord, give me more than I need so I can give somebody else. Lord, enlarge my territory. Make me have a bigger scope. Make me have a bigger vision. How big is your vision? That ain't big enough. You need God's vision. Come on, somebody. I mean, God's vision. You know, we have a name on this church. It's called Living Water International. We believe we're an international church. Oh, you got to be kidding me, Pastor. No, I believe we're an international church. You know, we've had people come from all over the world come to this church. And you may not realize that. We've had people from Africa. We've had people from all over the world been in this church. Amen? Everybody says the same thing that walks in the church. Golly, the anointing is wonderful in this house. I love your people, Pastor. This is a wonderful... I want to be part of this church. I see this church growing. I see this... Listen, I want to expand the borders. Come on, somebody. I want to enlarge your territory today. You know, you need to look around where you're sitting at your job. You need to look around and say, how can I expand my territory? You know? Really, what Jabez was saying, you know, he was saying, God, increase my net worth. Come on, somebody. Come on, increase my net worth, God. Give me a bigger territory. Give me a bigger territory. And so he began to pray, enlarge my territory, God. Say it with me, enlarge my territory. First he said, God, bless me, because he was wise enough to know that if he wasn't blessed, it was going to be hard to increase the territory. So he said, God, bless me indeed. Lord, give me more than enough. I need more than enough, God. You know, Jabez, listen, I want you to understand, Jabez was causing people pain. He had this black cloud that followed him around. Oh, I know, I remember those days. Do you remember, you know, get up in the morning, oh my God, it's morning. Come on, somebody. Come on, I remember, how many of you remember those days? Black clouds following you around. Listen, I'm not trying to tell you that there's never going to be a sad day when you serve Jesus, because sad days are going to come. But he said, I'll be with you. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll be with you. See, it's not that you're not going to go through some things, but when you go through them, he's going to be with you. He's going to help you go through them. When Jesus said to his disciples, get in the boat, we're going to the other side, and they got about halfway out there in the sea, and the raging wind comes and the waves comes, I bet they thought, oh yeah, this is easy for him to say. Any of y'all ever know what I'm talking about? Oh, it's easy for you to say, Jesus, to love your neighbor. That guy just got through cussing me out. Come on, somebody. He run me off the road. You want me to love him? Yeah, chase him down. Give him a $20 bill. That'll blow his mind. I promise you that. He'll think you're crazy. If I want to be crazy, I'm going to be crazy for Jesus. Amen. Don't you want to be crazy for Jesus if you're going to be crazy? I used to do some crazy, stupid stuff. Now, I still do crazy, stupid stuff, but it's in the eyes of the world, not the eyes of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Holy Ghost, enlarge my territory. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Exodus this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Exodus 34. Exodus 34 and verse 22. And you shall observe the Feast of Weeks, the first fruit, the wheat harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering at the end of the year. Three times in the year, all of your men shall appear before the Lord your God of Israel, before the Lord God of Israel. And I will cast out the nations before you. How many of you need some people out of your way? I will cast out the nations before you, and I will enlarge your borders. Come on, somebody. Neither will any man covet your land when you go up to appear before the Lord your God three times in one year. You know, God dealt with me. Men, are you listening? Men, are you listening? Men, are you listening? God dealt with me, and he said that the men are together three times a year. And that we're to have a day of prayer, a day of fasting, a day of calling out for this city, for this church, and to enlarge our territory. That first day is in April. The last part of April, actually the day that Gary Daughtry is here, we're going to, on a Saturday morning, we're going to gather the men together. And we're going to call out, and we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God, God, bless us indeed. Enlarge our territory, Lord. And we'll see when we'll do it next, but we're going to do it three times a year, because God spoke to my heart very plainly to gather the men together three times a year and to call out to the Lord. So I want to do that. How many of you know there's something about men's fellowship that's just good for the men? I mean, it's really good. And so I want to encourage you, as that time approaches, and you'll be hearing more about that. Three times in the year, all of your men shall appear before the Lord God of Israel, and I will cast out other nations before you, and I will enlarge your borders. Neither will any man covet your land when you go up to appear before the Lord three times a year. You know, God doesn't ask much. Come on, somebody. That's not asking a whole lot. Can we just covet and agree this morning to gather together three times a year for the men of this church? Come on, somebody. Spend a Saturday morning down here praising God, you know, worshiping the Lord together. There's something about doing that with men. So I want to encourage the men. This message is for you, but it doesn't stop there. Look with me in Deuteronomy 19. Lord, I give you praise this morning and thank you. Lord, I give you praise this morning. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Deuteronomy 19. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is God good or what? Amen. I want you to read with me in verse 2. It says, you shall separate, chapter 19, verse 2, you shall separate three cities for yourself in the midst of your land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. In other words, you purpose this. You shall prepare the road for yourself and divide into three parts the territory of your land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit. And then it talks about the manslayer. And what this is, everybody say, cities of refuge. You see, God said, I want to enlarge your place, your hiding place. I want to enlarge your place when you sin. And this is what this was about. It was about when somebody murdered somebody, they had a place to go, you know. They had, and it was forbidden for anybody to follow them. How many of you know that if you're in the world, when you come out of the world, we have a place to go. It's in the hiding place of God. People don't understand that. People say, how can God forgive you? Look at the terrible things you did. Well, I got news for you. They did them too. Come on, somebody. And you know, the same, that box, remember the white box we talked about a while ago with the red ribbon on it? That box, there's a box in heaven with their name on it. All they got to do is go over and open it up. Come on, somebody, help me just a little bit. All they got to do is go over and open it up, and they can have that list of blessings that God has for you. God has a list of blessings for you. So there was a place that you could go and hide from the things that were bad in your life. You know, I believe that's what Jabez was saying. He's saying, God, take me into a territory. Take me into a place where I don't cause people pain, Lord. Take me to a place where I can be there and I can be a blessing. How many of you want to be a blessing to people? I love to bless people. Come on, somebody. I mean 24/7. I love that. Blessing to somebody. I want to bless somebody. I just want to bless somebody. Verse 9 says, and if you keep all these commandments and do them which I command you today, to love the Lord your God, to walk always in his ways, then you shall add three more cities for yourself besides these three. There's places to hide in God. How many of you got saved and you was walking along and everything was going real well, and all of a sudden you just tripped and fell flat on your face? I mean, you messed up big time. Come on, everybody jump up and say amen at one time. I know everybody needs to understand. We all trip, we all fall. But there's grace at the foot of the cross. Amen? There is grace. There is grace at the foot of the cross. Look with me in Psalms 91. Everybody say, enlarge my territory. Give me more refuge, God. It says in verse chapter 91, Psalms 91, verse 1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I shall say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. Sometimes we need a fortress to run into to hide from the things of this world. Listen, not everything is always fun and games, folks. Can I just be honest with you? Sometimes we need to run, but where do we need to run? We need to run. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We should get under the shadow of God. We should go under his presence and understand that he is our God. He is our source. He is our stronghold. He is our buckler. There is nobody else. Jesus is the only answer. You see, if you come to this house this morning and you're looking for something else, or you need an answer, the only answer I have is Jesus. I don't have another answer for you. I have no other. I can't solve the world's problems, but Jesus can. I got one answer. It's Jesus. Whatever you need in your life, it's Jesus. You need more blessings in your life? You need Jesus. Do you need somebody to be kind to you? You need Jesus. Do you need to have your life and your wife and your family straightened out? You need Jesus. You need your loneliness cast out if you're single. You need to find a good helpmate. You need Jesus. And when you get him, you'll get everything you need. And you're getting, get God. Come on, somebody. Jesus is the answer to every question, and he'll give you a place of refuge. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God, and in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the pestilence. Come on, somebody. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. There it is again. You see, when Jabez prayed this prayer, God bless me indeed, and to make my territory enlarge. See, he was praying a whole lot more than for some money. He wasn't saying, God, give me a $100 bill. Come on, somebody. This is not a selfish prayer. This is a godly prayer. This is a prayer that we all need to pray on a regular basis. I'm going to pray it. I'm going to pray it until God tells don't pray it no more. I'm going to pray it. God bless me indeed, enlarge my territory. How many of you know that God is not prejudiced? Come on, somebody. If he did it for somebody else, he'll do it for you. If he did it for Jabez, he'll do it for you. Come on, somebody. Bless me indeed, Lord. Bless me indeed, Lord. Look with me now in Psalms 119. Lord, I give you praise this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you praise this morning. Psalms 119 and verse 32. How many of you know that sometimes we just need to have a larger heart with more compassion? Do you know what? That compassion is what answers prayer. You remember what it said? Jesus looked over the multitudes and said he felt compassion for them. He said you need that compassion in your heart. And to have more compassion, you're going to have a larger heart to have more compassion in your heart. You know, you can't be stiff-necked and hard-hearted if you're going to really serve Jesus. You've got to get down where people are. You know, this may sound funny to you, but I'm glad for the first 38 years of my life, because I know what it's like to live in hell. I know what it's like to be where I was, and I know what it's like to be blessed, to be encouraged, to be saved, to be delivered, and God loving me all the... You know, God never said one thing to me when I came to him. He said, son, I love you. He didn't eat me out for all the bad things I did. Some of you wouldn't have been quite so merciful. Come on, somebody. But God was very merciful. God was very merciful. 1932 says this, I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Say, enlarge my heart, Lord. Enlarge my territory, God. Give me a heart of compassion. Let my heart be more compassionate, more understanding, more loving. Lord, let me reach out. Let me not be afraid to get hurt. How many of you know most of the reason that most people don't reach out is because they're afraid they're going to get hurt? Now, I grant you, some people you're going to reach out to and they're going to bite the hand that feeds you. You've got to understand that's part of it. But you know, God said, he didn't say for you to worry about what you did. He said, give to the poor. And he said, I'll repay you. He didn't say the poor would repay you. Come on, somebody. God, increase me. Make my heart larger. Lord, let me have more mercy on people. Let me have more love on people, God. Lord, enlarge my heart. Just enlarge my heart. He says, I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. What are God's commandments? We talked about it on Wednesday night. We talked about it very plainly on Wednesday night. God, what is God's commandments? God left us a commandment. Love the Lord God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hinges all the laws, the prophets, all the blessings, and all the glory of God hinges on those two commandments. When you take those two commandments and you make the top hinge, love the Lord God with all your heart, and the bottom hinge is love your neighbor as yourself, the door swings open to heaven and the blessings of God come and take over you. Come on, somebody, help me just a little bit. Come on, somebody. I'm going to follow your commandments, God. I'm going to love my neighbor. You know what it also says about that? It says, love the Lord God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Some of you don't even like you. It's the truth. Some of you don't even like yourself. But God forgave you. God washed you. God cleansed you. God set you on high. You're to be seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. All the promises are yes and amen in Christ. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. Come on, somebody. Come on now, I'm telling you, some of you need to learn to like yourself a little better. Man, if I spent all my time dwelling on the things I messed up on, I'd never get anywhere. Come on, stop looking back. Stop going over to the graveyard and digging up the dead man, you know, your old man. Stop digging up the old guy and asking him questions. For he stinketh. Come on, somebody. Go on with heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, get happy. Hallelujah. Where were we? We were running the course. Okay. If you're visiting this morning, just hold on to your seatbelt. It'll be okay. Always pray, God, help us. Don't let us get radical when the visitors are here, God. You know what? Every time I pray that, we get radical. Come on, somebody. Lynn plays the fastest, loudest songs we have. Come on, somebody. I'm saying this morning, God, don't steer Paul off, you know. Or I might as well just tell you the truth, brother, you know. Well, all of y'all prayed the same prayer. You know you did. You brought a visitor and you said, God, don't, God, you know. I think it's okay to have fun in church, don't y'all? If you don't think it's okay to have fun in church, you're in the wrong church. I can tell you that right now. Some of you are struggling real hard right now to keep from laughing. And see, what you need to do is you need to quit looking for the lemon. Come on, somebody. And you let the glory of God just come and let. You know, the Word of God says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Everybody say this with me. Hee-hee, ho-ho, ha-ha. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on, somebody. I may have really stirred it up now, Mama. Okay, children. Okay, children, we have visitors. I shouldn't have said that, but now they're going to laugh louder. 2 Corinthians, we're about to finish this up. The visitor said, thank God. We sure love you. We're sure glad y'all came this morning. Please come back. You see, Tony's got the right idea. Warn them before you bring them, you know. Oh, goodness gracious, God is good. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1. Well, ain't this better than sitting in one of those places where they have to go, where they send the nurse around to see if you're still alive? Come on, somebody. I didn't just want a plain old church. Come on, somebody. And you know what? I didn't get a plain old church. I said, God bless me indeed. Hallelujah. Okay, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but it was yes. Everybody say yes. Yes. Say yes. Yes. Say yes. Yes. For all the promises of God in Jesus are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Amen? Amen. Say it with me. All the promises are yes and amen in Jesus. Where are they yes and amen? They're yes and amen in Jesus. You see, so when Jabez prayed this prayer, he said, God, oh, that you would bless me indeed, and you would enlarge my territory. You know, see, some of you have been restricted by the traditions of men. Men have restricted you from loving your Savior and from being with your Savior in every area. Come on, somebody. Well, they said, you can't laugh in church, you can't dance in church, you can't clap your hands in church. But you know, that's just exactly reversed to what the Word of God says in the book of Psalms. Jesus said there's one thing that's stronger than the Word of God. It's the traditions of men. You see, he had a tradition. His tradition was he was always going to fail. His tradition was nothing he ever planned was going to work out. Come on, somebody. He was planning for failure. You know, every day, all of us, we plan for failure in our life. Instead of planning to succeed, we plan to fail. We always reserve the last part, you know. And I want to tell you today, God wants you to plan to succeed. But Pastor, I fell down. Well, as long as you fell forward, it's okay. And while you're down there on your knees, pick something up and get back up and go forward again. Well, you don't know how bad I messed up. No, you just don't know how good your God is. Because your God loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to bring you happiness and joy in your life. You can walk in joy and peace and love and happiness and not be bitter anymore. You don't have to do that anymore in your life. You see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus said the work is finished. Come on. The Word of God says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it was my prayer this morning. My prayer this morning is the Jabez prayer for you. God, oh, that you would bless this congregation indeed. Lord, that you would enlarge every person's territory in this place. Come on, somebody. Lord, that you would place your hand upon them, that you would keep them from evil, and Lord, that they would not cause pain. Man, that's a beautiful prayer. That's good. That's good. Now, I'm going to have a time for altar call in just a minute. And we're going to minister to those that want to be ministered to. And Jay, you don't know this, but we're having a baptism this morning, so you're going to have to get your rubber deals, your whatever you call, waders, your rubber waders on. Get them on because I didn't heat the water, and the lady's determined. I guess you're still going for it, ain't you? Okay, she's still going for it. So I say we ought to give her a hand because she's gonna just willing to go for it. It won't be a long baptism. Water. Hallelujah. Everyone bow your head with me, please. Now I know that you may not be used to this type of worship or this type of atmosphere in a church, but I promise you and acknowledge to you that this is God. His presence is in the house. He's here to minister love and grace and mercy to you. The next decision you make will be the most important decision you ever make in your whole life. With every head bowed, no one looking, for just a moment, please. If you're in this house this morning and you're not sure about your salvation, you're not for sure. If you woke up in the morning dead, you don't know where you'd be. If you're not sure about your salvation, and you say, Pastor, would you please pray for me just so I can be sure about my salvation? I want to pray that prayer for you and with you. If that's you, I want you just to do this for me. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand, count to three, and you can just let your hand right back down. No one moving, please. And as the Word of God penetrates your hearts and ministers to you. If you're in this place this morning and you're not sure about your salvation, you're not sure if you would go to heaven if you died today or not, if that's you and you're not positive and you want to know for sure, I want you to lift your hand right now. Is there anyone in this house? Thank you, sir. I see that. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Anyone else needs to lift your hand? I'm not sure about my salvation. Second thing I want to ask you is this. You may know the Lord, and you may have walked with the Lord and been in His glorious presence many, many times. But are you walking with Him today? Today is the day of salvation. Do you need to renew your life with Jesus? Do you need to put your hands back in the hand of Jesus and let Him love you and let Him encourage you, enlarge your territory? Do you need to rededicate your life to the Lord? If that's you, I want you to lift your hand. Count to three and let it down. Anyone else? Anyone in this place? Thank you, sir. I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? The last thing I'm going to ask you is, have you ever asked Jesus into your life? Have you ever truly said, Jesus, I know You're the Lord and I know You're God. I know You died for my sins and You rose from the dead. And because of that fact, I have eternal life. See, a lot of people talk about being saved. Just because you were born in America doesn't make you a Christian. And maybe you've never confessed with your mouth. Maybe you've never believed in your heart. Maybe you just say, Pastor, I just need to know who Jesus really is. I never knew a Jesus like You're talking about. If that's you and you're in this house this morning and you say, Lord, I want to know You. I want to know You. I don't want to know about You anymore. I want to know You. I want a relationship with You, Jesus. If that's you and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, would you lift your hand, count to three, and let your hand down? Anyone in this place that needs to do that? Please don't be embarrassed. I don't want to embarrass you. Let's all stand to our feet. Now I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. I'm not going to ask everybody to come to the front this morning. We're just going to all pray this prayer together. But what I want you to do, I want you to be an evangelist right now. I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to ask them, do you need to pray one of those three prayers? Turn to somebody and ask them, do you need to pray one of those three prayers? You see, the Word of God says that we're to confess to one another. If they say yes, you say, I'll pray with you. I'll believe with you. Just tell them you'll believe with them. And now let's all pray this prayer together. Everybody in this house, just pray this prayer together. Just lift your hearts to heaven and say, Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He died on a cross for my sins. And because of that fact, I can be born again. I believe that in 3 days He rose from the grave. And because of that fact, I can have a new life. I can have a new personality. I can be a different person. I can be born again. Lord, I ask You in Jesus' name for that precious gift of eternal life. Lord, I've come to renew my vows to You. I've come to put my heart back in Your hand. Jesus, I love You. I ask You to forgive me my sins, and I ask You to wash me and cleanse me. I ask You to help me to walk the life that You've called me to, in Jesus' name. Now we're going to have a short altar call. Immediately following that altar call, we're going to have a baptism. So I'm going to ask you to stay as long as you possibly can. If you need prayer for healing or deliverance or any area, I just want to ask you just to come forward right now. If you need prayer for any area, just come, and I want to pray with you. Just come quickly. Just come quickly. I want to pray for you to be blessed. I want to pray for you to be encouraged. Father, we thank You for Your power right now. Father, You know those that need to come for prayer. Now, if you need prayer and you might need a chair to sit in, just ask one of the ushers to get you a chair, and you can sit in the chair. That's fine. It's no problem for me. Now, let me just say this to you. I'm going to be praying for people in just a minute, and more than likely, some of them are going to fall on the floor. They're not hurt. I want you to know that before I pray for them. When the power of God comes upon you, different things happen to different people. Some people laugh. Some people cry. Some people fall on the floor. But you keep your eyes on Jesus and you be concerned about what he's going to do, not about what's going on. For this is God's ministry to people. You see, I believe sometimes when you fall on the floor, it's God's operating table. I believe sometimes when you laugh, it's God's good medicine for you. So all of us need different things in our lives. I cried for the first 6 months, and I laughed for the next 6 months after I got saved, okay? So God loves you, and he cares for you. Lord, I just ask you now this morning to be with each person. Could I have some ushers, please?